The message is going to be on, the lesson slash message is going to be on baptism. I believe that sometimes we do things because we know it's right. We do things because that's what's always been done before us. And I believe that's not wrong. I believe that, that's right. But I believe that God wants us to have a good understanding on what it is that we're doing, the where's, the when's, the why's, the what for's, the how's, all of that. God wants to give us an understanding. I'm no expert on the subject, but this is what God gave me. And so I want to give us a maybe a little bit better understanding on what baptism is all about. And so you be praying for me. I noticed that once the Lord gave me the message or the lesson, the enemy started fighting us on every line. It seemed like he was fighting us on every line. And so that is always a good confirmation for me that the Lord is in it. So you be praying for us this morning. Baptism is an outward declaration to all of an inward change, an inward, some work that has been done on the inside. All right. When we, it's like a testimony almost. We are letting the world know that I am no longer a sinner. I am no longer okay with not only sin, but the master that I used to serve. I parted with that master, and now I'm being buried with Jesus. And when I come back out, praise God, I'm a new man. I'm a new woman, and I want the world to know it. May God help us this morning. That's what baptism is all about. It's an ordinance. And y'all pray for me because I'm excited about this. And I need to calm down a little bit so that I can get through this. But ordinance is an order. Ordinance means it's an order, an authoritative decree or direction. It's a law set forth by a governmental authority. So what we need to understand, and somebody talked about it earlier today, there are laws in the natural sense that God has laid forth, and then there's laws in the spiritual sense that God has laid forth. God is the ultimate authority. He's the supreme authority, not only on this earth or in this world, but in the universe. And so he sets these laws or these decrees. He gives us examples to follow as we as Christians are to follow. And so Jesus Christ, being our example, he gave us baptism, and it's something that we should be doing. So one of the whys, why we are baptized is because Jesus Christ, and we'll read about it, our example, not only did he come down and die for our sins, not only was he the perfect sacrifice, but he was baptized. And so in accordance with what God did, what God laid forth, having his son go through that, then that's one of the reasons why we are baptized. May God help us this morning. All right, so it's a religious ritual, if you would. I say that in quotations, that Jesus established for Christians to follow. Go with me to Matthew 3:1. We're going to do some reading here, and then we'll have another reading in another area. I'll give it to you now so you can be prepared for it when we get to it. It's over in, Lord help us, Lord Romans 6:4. So we'll go to that. But right now we want to read chapter 3, verse number 1 of Matthew. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" All right. And so it's important to know that this brother John was, it says he was holy. He was full of the Holy Ghost from the womb. Now, I don't even know how that happens. But Brother John was full of the Holy Ghost from the womb. And his job, he had a job to do. His job was to prepare the way for Christ Jesus. All right? This was prophesied way down in the Old Testament. All right, that Brother John was coming. So this is talking about, here he is now in chapter 3 of Matthew. He came and he had a job to do, and that was to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And so He was saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want you to get a hold of this morning. You can't baptize. Now, let me say this in a good way, because I don't want to offend or hurt anybody. But baptizing a baby is not doing anything. You're just pouring water on a baby. All right? You have to understand that baptism is something that you and I make after we have been saved. All right? And so babies are under the blood. That's a different deal. Salvation is something that you and I have come to terms with God. And we found out that the way we were going wasn't right. And we forsook that way. We said, God, forgive us of our sins. I renounce this way. I turn my back on sin. I'm never going to live for the devil again. And once we have done that, then can we be baptized? You understand? And so some people are under the false understanding. It's error. And I'm not against that. I'm saying that that's wrong. You can't baptize a baby and it counts. You have to have repentance. You have to have salvation. Then you have baptismal. All right. This is something that when someone comes to the age of accountability and God deals with their soul and they yield and they get saved, they repent. Do you understand that when you repent, you have to have remorse? Do you know that you have to acknowledge that sin is wrong? Not only sin is wrong, but living for the devil is wrong, and you are sorry for the wrong that you've done? The Bible says a broken spirit and a contrite heart he won't despise. He said, if you hide your sin, if you cover it, then you'll get no blessing. But if you confess it and forsake it. All right. And so a lot of people, a lot of churches, they'll let you confess all you want to. They want you to confess. Matter of fact, they want you to confess to somebody so they can use it against you if they have to. I know the devil don't like that, but that's what it is. Listen, we don't need to come. You don't need me to get saved. Do you know that? You don't need Brother Tavis to get saved or whoever else. Do you know that there are people in heaven now that they got saved and it was just them and God there? Do you know that? You confess to God. You understand? And so what happens is people want to confess, but they don't want to forsake. This is the problem in their relationship with God. They are confessing, they're willing to say that they're wrong, but I don't want to stop what I'm doing. All right? And so the Bible teaches us that we confess and forsake our sin. That's why Brother John was talking about true repentance has confession in it. It has forsaking, and then there's a contriteness that comes with it. Broken spirit, contrite means that I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sorry for what I did, and if I can do anything to make it right, I'll do it. Remember Zacchaeus? You remember what happened when Jesus came to his house? He said, I'll repay him fourfold of what I took. See, that's the mindset. That's the attitude of the Christian. Do you understand? All right? And so what's happening is we don't want to get stuck at confession. Confession is good, but may God help us. True repentance is confessing and forsaking my sin, and I'm turning my back on it. The Bible says godly sorrow will cause us to be in a place where we don't have to repent again. You see? All right, I'm going to get a couple of scriptures. I'm not going to say them. I'm going to tell you them, and there I already went over them. But I want you to write them down just so you can make sure you know they're there. Proverbs 28 and 13, that's the confessing and forsaking scripture. It talks about somebody covering their sins and what happens with them, which is not good. And then it talks about confessing and forsaking and the blessing that is in that. All right, Psalms 51 and 17, it talks about the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And then it says that a broken spirit and a contrite heart, he will not despise. Contrition means that not only am I sorry that I did wrong, not because I got caught. Not because of what I have to go through now because I got caught, but I'm sorry and I'm godly sorry. I did wrong. I know I did wrong and I'm sorry about that. And I want to make it right if I can. It has a mindset of amending something. Can I amend it? Can I help in some kind of way? I am wrong. Do you understand? That's what contrition is about. So broken spirit and a contrite heart, he will not despise. That's Psalms 51 and 17. Then 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. I want us to go to that one especially because sometimes as Christians, we can get caught up in this I'm always messing up, I'm always needing the Lord to forgive me again. And I'm not telling you not to ask God to forgive you again if you need God to forgive you again. But there's a way to get out of that. You don't have to stay in that. May God help us this morning. It's in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. Somebody get that for us and read that for us. Pay special attention to what it says because it can get you out of that rut that you're in, that repetitive praying every night. I messed up again, Lord. No, God wants that something better for you. Read that for us. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Sorrow of the world worketh death. And so we can ask the Lord, Lord, help me to get to a place where I see that this is wrong. I see that I've not only harmed that person or those people, but I've hurt you, Lord. I don't want to hurt you anymore. I don't want to hurt them people anymore. And I want that godly sorrow that worketh salvation to repentance. When Brother John was talking about salvation, he was talking about repentance. He was talking about getting to that place before we even approach the baptismal. You understand? May God help us this morning. He wants repentance and salvation. All of these things come before being baptized. All right. And that's what we need by the help of the Lord. Going back to Matthew 3, and we're reading down a little bit more. Stay with me this morning. I didn't know how much time it was going to take. And so I said, I better get up here by the help of the Lord and get going. So be praying for us. Matthew 3:3. So they already said Brother John was sent by God. It was prophesied of. If you want to find out where that is, that's in Isaiah. I believe it's in Isaiah 40. What verse is that? Verse number 3. Somebody read that for us. It's in my notes. The devil don't want me to find it. All right. All right. All right. All right. That's good enough right there. That was talking about Brother John. So that was the prophecy. Why is that important? Because what God says, he will do. What God says, he will do. So you can count on God. All right. Moving forward. Going to Matthew 3:3. It says here, for this was he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, and so we just read about that, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loin. His meat was locusts and wild honey. So he was in the wilderness. That's letting you know that's where he was. This is the same John. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and listen to this, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. This is what Jesus Christ wanted John to do. So John was already doing this. All right. He was already baptizing people. He was already telling people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is a different way. I want us to understand something here. We are living in the gospel dispensation. We don't live in under the old Mosaic law. And so those rituals, those mindsets, those things that they used to do, what was happening here is that has been done away with. Once Jesus Christ came, we have the opportunity to have a relationship with God where not only do we live right on a day-to-day basis, but we don't have to have any sacrifices anymore. We don't have to follow all these different rules and laws that are difficult, but now we can literally live from day to day free from sin and in the way. God has that for us. All right. And so this was different, something different. And so John, Brother John was preparing the way for Jesus Christ because it's a new and a different way. It's what God had intended all along. And so they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Drop down to verse number 13 and read with me, please. I tell you to pray for me here. All right. And so it says here, verse number 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. All right. Baptized of thee. All right. Stop there. Jesus came to John to be baptized. This is something that I don't even understand. And I agree 1,000% with Brother John when he said, I need you to baptize me, Lord. He knew who God was. He knew this was Jesus Christ, the one that came down from heaven. He knew that. But you have to understand that Jesus wanted to set the example. And so God ordained for Jesus to be baptized of John. And so it seems strange, like me, for example, today, Lord willing, later on, we're going to be baptizing some people in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. But it seems like, why me, Lord? I'm nobody special. You understand? But this was Jesus Christ. That's a whole nother level. You understand? But when God says that's what he wanted him to do, then that's what he did. So the reason why we are baptized, once we repent, once we have been converted, now we are being baptized because Jesus set the example to do it, and now we want to follow that example. All right, we'll follow the Lord all the way. All right. And so it says here in verse number 14, John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So Jesus was baptized. All right. When he said he suffered him, that means he was baptized of John. All right, verse number 16 says here, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God. I got to get chills. We're here. Descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. All right, this is confirming that this was the will of God. And so in the same way, when we do the will of God, it pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord. And so I'm going to pause here with you, and I'm going to ask you something this morning. You ask your own self. You would know better than I would. But I want to ask you, if you've been saved and you have not been baptized, I want to encourage you to take that step forward by the help of the Lord. When you get an opportunity, make that a priority. Look, make sure you are saved and you're living right. I don't want nobody doing it when they ain't. But if you're saved and you repented and you've done all those things, you've met those requirements, then you need to make it a priority to please the Lord in this area. Because what the devil would like to do is keep you in a place where you're kind of undecided. You understand? The Bible talks about us being of the bride of Christ, right? And so when you are a bride of something, the decision has already been made. You're not the girlfriend. You ain't the fiance. You are the bride of Christ. So you made your choice and the marriage has taken place. But the devil would like to keep you in a place where you're saved, but you haven't really made that declaration to the world. We used to, when we get saved, that we'd stand up and we'd have to tell the whole congregation, I appreciate the Lord saving me. Have a mercy on my soul. Would you pray for me? I want to live for the Lord. This is a whole nother level though, and we'll get into it, because it's a type of burial and resurrection. All right, and we're going to go to that over in Romans 6 and 4. But I want you to understand, if you haven't done that, this is something you need to do. You're taking a stand. You're choosing sides here. All right, and so that's why it's important. Let's move forward. Somebody continue to pray for me. My goal and aim is to make heaven my home. I got a few scriptures before we get to that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. All right, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. I want it's a familiar scripture, but I want us to get a hold of what the Lord is saying here, what the Word of God is saying. It says here in 5 and 17, therefore, if any man, how many men? Does that exclude anybody from that? That's everybody? If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new, all right? And so what's happening here is, through salvation, we already have started the changing process. God did the work. When you knelt down at an altar of prayer and you repented and you let the Lord, and you met that condition, then God, what he did is he met you there and he changed you. You are not the same. You're not the same. You are not a sinner anymore. When you're in sin, you're a sinner. When you're a sinner, you have a different master. You have changed that master. And not only that, but now you got the power and the ability through Christ to live saved. Amen. To live free from sin. God has that for us. All right? The Bible says he shall save his people what? In their sins, sometimes sinning, from their sins. And that's what God wants to do for us. May God help us this morning. All right, so that's 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. All right, don't mean that we don't have anything to learn. Don't mean that we don't have anything to unlearn. We're going to have things that we're going to need to unlearn. We're going to have things that we need to learn. But what's happening is, you are from that point forward a new creature. All right? You have to continue to maintain your relationship with the Lord. As God deals with you and he says, get rid of that, then you get rid of that. As he says, put this on, you put that on. He's getting you ready to leave this world, like we preached the other day. All right, Luke 13, 24. Somebody have that? They can beat us there. They can read it. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So it's going to take effort. You can't just, I wish it was this way, where you just got saved and from that moment forward, you're holy, sin doesn't affect you, temptations don't affect you, nothing bothers you, you're exactly like Jesus Christ wants you to be when you, I wish it was that way, but we got work to do. We got work to do. But we are a new creature. There's a change that has taken place. And so it has readied us for this step to be baptized. All right, Matthew 11 and 28. You beat me there. Go ahead and read it, please. Matthew 11, verse number 28 on down through 30. All right. All right. All right. Right. All right. Yes. This is talking about the changing of masters. Different master now. Different master. When you have Jesus Christ, when you have God the Father as your master, it's a different yoke. It's a whole different experience. All right? So you take off that old yoke of sin. You take off that old yoke that the enemy has put on you, that guilt, that shame, that sinful nature, all of those unclean and evil things that you're involved in, things that people know, things that don't people know. You take all that off. You ain't got no use for that anymore. You are yoked up with Christ Jesus now, and you have him as your master now. And so it's a different deal. You'll feel a whole lot lighter. You'll feel a whole lot lighter. You will. Amen. You'll be able to look in the mirror and be pleased at what you see. You don't have to be ashamed no more. Amen. God has that for us. All right. And so this is what we're talking about, that repentance and salvation does. Now, let's talk about baptism in terms of burial and resurrection. What scripture was that? Was y'all listening? What scripture? Where we at? Romans what? 6:4. Let's read a little bit down in Romans chapter 6, verse number 4. You beat me there. Go ahead and read, please. All right. All right, we're buried by him by baptism into death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. All right, new man, new walk. May God help us. We're buried with Christ Jesus. Remember, Christ was buried, but did he stay there though? No, he did not. 3 days later, came up out of there, didn't he? He was resurrected, right? Why did he die? Why did Christ Jesus die? For our sins. You see what I'm saying? So what gets buried in baptism, what that's signifying is the sins that we had committed, just like Christ. He didn't commit any sins, but he was buried for our sins. We're doing the same thing. Does that make sense? All right. So when we get buried in that water, the sins, they get killed. They get destroyed. They get done away with. And when we come out of that water, we are different. We are new. Those sins are gone away. And so this is what this scripture is talking about. Buried with Jesus, resurrected with him. That's what's happening when someone is baptized. Did we know that? Amen. Did we know that? All right. And so moving forward, verse number 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Do we believe that he died? Do we believe that he was buried and rose again? This is very, very important. When you are baptized, one of the things that you are signifying is that you believe all of that. You believe that Jesus Christ was born. You believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary. You believe that he came down from heaven. You believe that he walked and lived amongst us as an example of righteous and a holy life. You believe that he was crucified. You believe that he was delivered unto the Romans to be crucified. You believe all the evil things that was done to him. And you also believe that he was resurrected. You also believe that he's on the right hand of God. You also believe that he went to prepare a mansion. You also believe he's still there working on our behalf for us, advocating for us. This is what this is signifying. Do you believe it? May God help us this morning. Sometimes we believe some stuff, but the other stuff seems a little fantastical and we don't believe quite like we need to. Do you think that would hinder our faith? Do you think that would hinder our relationship with God? May God help. If you don't believe, ask him to help you to believe. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Right? You can't come anyway. You can't come any other way. And I can't pick and choose what I believe and what I don't believe. I gotta believe all of it. All right. And so this is what baptismal is saying. It's saying you believe all of that and you're willing to be buried with Jesus and come out brand new by the grace and help of God. Verse number 6. All right. Knowing this, that our old man is what? Crucified. See, we can't get killed naturally because then we'd be dead. So this is signifying that, right? All right. And so it says, knowing that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be what? Destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? freed from sin. This is another verse that you can, listen, I'll be honest with you. When you get saved, you may have some failures. You may have some times where you messed up. But what the Bible says is walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. What the Bible says is I can do all things through who? Through Christ which strengthened me. What the Bible says with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so it is possible in 2025 to live free from sin. God's able to do that. Now, you may do some other things that are not sin, and the devil will come in, and he'll accuse you. He'll try to get you to believe that you have sin, but it's not even sin. But those things that are sinful, those things that transgress God's law that you are aware of before you do it, that's sin. All right? When I know that something is wrong, the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if I know about it and I'm doing it, then I know that I shouldn't be doing it, then that's sin. If it's something that I shouldn't be doing, that I am doing, that I know I shouldn't be doing, I know it transgresses God's law, that's something I should not be doing, and that is sin. All right? And so once we are saved, sometimes we don't even know that the things that we're doing, we don't know about it. We don't have an understanding that this thing I picked up in sin that's trying to follow me into salvation, that's why the Bible says lay aside every weight and what? And sin which does so easily beset you. You can't lay it aside if you're not saved, so who he talking to? Who's he talking to? Save people. You understand? And so when we become aware of something, we become aware that it's not right, that we shouldn't be doing it. Grace and help of God, help me, Lord. I'm not doing that anymore. All right? Y'all with me? Y'all gonna let me keep preaching? Amen. So what God did is he died for our sins. When we are baptized, we are in agreement with all of that. We believe all of that, and we believe that we can live free from sin. I'm asking you this morning, don't you answer out loud. But if you do not believe that a person can live free from sin, I'm encouraging you, take that up with, don't take it up with me. I'm convinced. By the help of the Lord, you can do it. But I'm asking you, and I'm encouraging you, take it up with the Lord. What you'll find is that sometimes we have a drawback in ourselves. Right. All right? We're willing to check certain boxes, but certain things we're holding back in those areas. And we gotta the Lord will put his finger on them and he'll say, give that to me. I'll enable you to do this. All right? Amen. All right. Got kind of quiet. That's all right. It's true anyhow. It's true. Things can hinder us along the way, but God can remove those hindrances and he can make us completely and entirely successful in this walk of life, in this Christian journey. All right. It says here, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. So new creature now. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Praise God. Amen. Death hath no more dominion over him. Do you know that sin and death are closely related? Because of sin, death entered the world. And so when Christ died, he conquered all of that. He conquered sin, hell, death, the grave, Satan, whatever you want to say in terms of this life, he conquered all of that. And so when we are buried with him through baptismal, that's where we're at by the grace and help of God. Amen. All right, and so it says here. It says here, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. That's why we're doing this. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, he doesn't die anymore. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died once, He died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Praise God. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All right? Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, my life is worth the living because he lives. All right? And he does live. He's on the right hand of God right now. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now it says here something that I want us to hold on to. Let not sin, therefore, have dominion. Excuse me. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye shall obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye yourselves as instruments unto unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Remember those scriptures that says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Then what? Resist the devil. He will flee. What else? Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh to you. This is how it's done as people of God. All right? And so when we are people of God, our goal and aim is to live free from sin, to live for the Lord. Once we have been saved, God gives us that ability. Salvation means that he's giving you that ability right then and right there. So the more you give yourself to the Lord, the more you want to live for the Lord and be pleasing and honoring unto him, you endeavor to live righteously and godly in this present world, God will meet that desire and give you power and strength to do it. Now, if you're out there on the outskirts, if you got one foot in the door and one foot out the door, that's a different story. There's no power there. All right? You got to be all for one or all for the other. That's how it works. May God help us this morning. So when we talk about baptism, we're talking about being buried. We're burying sin. We're burying those lusts, those desires, all those things that would hinder us from being pleasing to God. When we come out that water, we are a new creature in Christ. Praise God Almighty. We're dead to sin, but alive in Christ. We're washed in his blood. All right, now, this is the last thing. I'm almost finished here. I appreciate your time and your attention, your prayers for me. Luke number 23, chapter 23, verse number 39 through 43. Because I know someone out there has this question in their mind. I know I did. It's not wrong to have a question. We can ask God a question, but we can't question God. Now, understand that. Does that make sense? The attitude in which I come to God is very important as to what I'm going to get from God. I can ask God a question. Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on with this. But Lord, I want to know and I want to do right. God's going to deal with you and he's going to bless you and help you. But if you come to God with an attitude problem and you're going to tell God how it is and he better explain himself because he got some explaining to do, that's all wrong. That's wrong. And you'll get no blessing there. All right, so we're in Luke chapter 23. We got verse number 39. And this is talking about what? Thief on the cross, right? The malefactors and the thief on the cross, when you're reading the Bible, when it's talking about the ones that were crucified with Christ Jesus, it's talking about the thieves, the two thieves, all right? And so let's pick it up in chapter number 39. It says here, and one of the malefactors, or one of the thieves which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, you see him acknowledging his wrongdoing, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I read this for what? Why do I read this? He was not baptized. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized. But you see him meeting the condition? You see that? We're wrong. He said, I'm wrong. Lord, I'm wrong. See how he's talking about? The other thief was talking about save us and save all of us. But the other one said, listen, we should be here. We deserve to be here. He doesn't deserve to be here. So now he was acknowledging his wrongdoing. He was acknowledging that Christ Jesus was the Lord. And he understood that. And he said, Lord, if in any way, Lord, you can have mercy upon me, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And so Jesus said, you have your petition because you've met the condition. And so what I'm saying is some people, they don't have the opportunity to be baptized. Why didn't he have to baptize? He was killed, right? So that's a different deal, and God has the ability to do that. But I'm saying to you, you and I as people of God, once we are saved and we know we have met the condition, we need to be trying to make sure that we follow all of the word of God. All of the way, all of the will of God. Lord, if baptism is what I need to do, then Lord help me, I'm willing to do it. Amen. All right? And so the thief, he wasn't baptized, but at the same time, he met the condition of salvation. All right. And so I wanted to answer that question because the devil, you know how he is. Well, the thief didn't get baptized. I'll tell you this. If the thief could have been baptized, if he could have come down from that cross, he'd have been the first one in line. Right. Huh? You think he wouldn't? Huh? Okay. So there we know that his heart was right and God had mercy on him. And I want to say this. I made a run on a guy, maybe a month or two ago. I'm not good with remembering how long ago. And he had shot himself, in a place that would kill him. And he was dying. And the Lord impressed upon me to pray for that man. And he lived probably 2 or 3 more weeks. I can't remember. No reason why he should be alive. He should be dead. I believe that the Lord can do things like that. I believe the Lord dealt with him. I believe people even yield to the Lord in those positions. Matter of fact, I believe when you get to heaven, by the help of the Lord, when we get to heaven, some of the old people, we say, how'd you get here? Amen. I believe that. But I also believe that when you have light and you have knowledge and you have understanding and you have opportunity, then you need to prioritize what you know is right and do it while you have time and opportunity. Don't leave it to chance. Don't leave it to a last second opportunity. Even though God may be merciful unto you, my encouragement is get it right now, keep it right, and then go all the way with the Lord by the grace and help of God. God needs soldiers that are willing and ready and able to do his will right now. Because there are people that need to hear the word of God. They need to see the word of God through your holy example. And so we can't all get in at the last second. Some of us going to have to live saved from now on by the grace and help of God and give God praise and glory and honor at the end of the day. I appreciate your time, your attention. I hope we touched on some things that opened your understanding and helped you in some kind of way. My goal and aim, like I told you before, I say it all the time. I say it for you, but I also, which I don't know, I say it for me. You say something enough, you'll believe it. I believe it already. I've been believing it, but I want to believe it even more. My goal and aim is to what? Make heaven my home. And what else I want to do? I want to take you with me. I want to see you there. You may as well go. You may as well go. You're getting the information. You're getting the opportunity. You may as well go to heaven is what I say. So by the grace and help of God, pray for me. I want to go to heaven. I will be praying for you. I appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayers for me.